This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you are listening to Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj. Now, building an organization's reputation, whether you're a five-man or a 500-man team in today's world, is going to be challenging. It's an always-on world that is complex and evolving at all times. So, similar to how companies invest in human resources, equipment, and business processes, investing in your reputation proves critically important to maintaining your license to operate. But how do you protect your reputation in a world of constant crises? Well, to answer this question, we have with us today the Associate Director of Crisis Risk and Digital Reputation at Edelman Public Relations Worldwide. His name is Christopher Ross de Cruz, and you are going to answer some pretty interesting questions for us, right, Chris?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning and welcome to the show. So let's just kick things off with crisis management. So I understand that crisis management begins even before a crisis hits. So how do you prepare for the unknown crises you're about to start, well, firefighting?
Right. Well, today's communications landscape has naturally linked reputation management with the digital world. And corporate executives and organizations need to recognize that brand perception today functions more like a real-time trading desk.
Okay.
And preparedness planning needs to start with the acknowledgement from the organization's most senior leadership that reputation management practices need to be built into every fiber of the organization and not just beyond simple operational readiness. So tactically, this mindset translates into tasks such as conducting online listening on a regular basis to ensure that you have a robust early warning system put in place. And while that's internally focused, looking at the external circuit of influences is extremely important. And this goes beyond just looking at who has the most followers on social media, because we need to identify the difference between influence and reach.
Okay, now you just mentioned online listening and online monitoring, right? Is this for organizations that are online? They have a website, they have a communications channel, or is this for all organizations that do not have an online presence?
So digital platforms has become your new 1-800 number. So even if you're exclusively a brick and mortar organization, you need to ensure that you're present online to keep your pulse to, firstly, what your consumers are saying on behalf of your brand and what consumers are saying about your industry.
Okay. All right. Coming back to crisis itself, when a crisis strikes, well, when do you engage? Do you get in from the get-go, or do you just inform your employees first? Do you wait and see what the ripple effects are before you actually engage in trying to firefight?
One of the most important values of a organization would be the ability to protect themselves. And to do this, you need to first ensure that you have a robust monitoring system. You've got a robust organizational infrastructure in place to identify a crisis vis-a-vis an issue. And we at Edelman, we look at four distinct phases of a crisis. Firstly, you observe. You observe to look at what has happened, who's speaking about it, who has been affected. Secondly, is to orient, decide as an organization and as a senior leadership where we want to take the crisis and what outcomes are we expecting. Thirdly, is to decide on the appropriate actions, who's going to speak on what topic and which channel should we use to amplify our message. The last point would be to act. So observe, orient, decide and act. In the sense that you need to look at the channels that you're going to amplify your crisis messaging to, especially in today's age where 73% of Malaysians are worried that the news that they receive is fake news. And this is based on the Edelman Trust Barometer survey that we've been doing in Malaysia for the last 4 years. And it's a survey that measures trust in four key institutions: the government, media, businesses and NGOs.
So almost 3 out of 4 Malaysians are actually concerned about receiving fake news. And even more during a time of crisis, right? They might be paranoid.
Correct. So 73% of Malaysians worry about false information or fake news being used as a weapon.
Ah, okay. So I understand that there are also like variables that organizations need to take into account ahead of time, before the crisis happens or before they start to act on a crisis.
I think there are five questions that an organization needs to ask themselves. Firstly, with whom have we maintained consistent relationships? Who can act as our advocates? What is our threshold for what we call influential? Third, how quickly does a conversation need to build up esteem to warrant a response? Fourth, what is the timing of a response? What is the cadence? When do we say on what channel? And lastly, where will we publish our response and how will we notify our stakeholders? More often than not, during a crisis, we are forward-looking, external-looking, and it's easy to forget that you have a whole bunch of internal stakeholders that you can activate.
Right, okay. And are there like guidelines to addressing a crisis? Are there tools?
Conversation monitoring should be the first line of defense. And the better prepared you are, the easier it is for you to activate your organization during a crisis. So social media serves as an easy, efficient, and express outlet for news to break, whether factual or not. Mm-hmm. So with this, it has the ability to impact your business overnight. So it's critical that organizations keep their fingers on the pulse to ensure that they're always aware of what's happening and providing them the ability to look around the corner. Then you set up an effective conversation monitoring program that should start with a deep understanding of your business, the industry that you operate in, the executives, the countries that you're operating in, and the languages that impact the communities around you. Your team should focus on four key areas when they get started: a search audit, which means grasping the language of your target audiences, especially how they search for information online. So you and I use Google as a conversational tool. It's like talking to a friend. We search in sentences and conversations rather than direct queries. So the more an organization is able to mirror that in their communications and their outreach, the more you're going to be able to reach your audiences when they search for you online.
Okay, maybe you can give us an example of this.
Right. If you're looking for a handphone, you're not going to type best Samsung phone, right? You're more likely to Google, where can I get a phone under 2,500 ringgit with the ability to take photos in a low lighting condition?
Possibly, yeah.
And that points to the fact that search has become so natural to us. It becomes a conversational tool rather than a Q&A. So second would be a conversation audit, which means identifying the keywords used by audiences to create a taxonomy for online monitoring.
What's a taxonomy?
A taxonomy is a grouping of words related to a particular industry.
Ah, okay. All right. So what's number three?
Number three would be to measure the performance. Measurement provides context and sets performance baselines. The more measurement and baselines that you have to work towards and against, the more you're going to be able to refine your approach to communications and content strategy and amplification during a crisis. So the ability of your team to gauge the impact of an emerging issue to determine an appropriate response also proves critical and brings us back to the OODA loop: observe, orient, decide, and act.
Okay. And using the context of, well, us being a digital-first society, what tools should organizations have or should arm themselves with to prepare for an eventual crisis?
One of the most important tools that any organization has are their own tools. I strongly believe that organizations shouldn't be held hostage to media houses, so they should focus on their internal tools. And internal tools and platforms such as their websites should serve as a clearinghouse for information during a crisis, which includes statements and points of view, Q&As, that are shared easily across different platforms. So for me, the most important thing is to look at your own channels, to get prepared with your own channels. It's to include... Some organizations have their own dark sites in the sense that you create a website that lies dormant and out of the public view, but can be activated during a time of crisis.
Right. Okay. And also like simple things for smaller organizations like a Twitter account, right?
A Twitter account, a Facebook account, even Instagram. You've got to look at you've got to do some research around the more prominent social platforms in Malaysia and across your demographic. There's a recent study that said that the older demographic is increasingly adopting voice search on mobile phones. So how do you use that information to mirror reaching your target audience during a time of issue or crisis?
All right, let's take a quick break for some messages right now. But when we come back, Christopher Ross De Cruz from Edelman will be talking to us about protocols that organizations should have in place ahead of crises. You're listening to Resource Center on BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj, and on the show today we have Christopher Ross De Cruz. He is the Associate Director of Crisis Risk and Digital Reputation at Edelman Public Relations Worldwide, and we are talking about investing in your reputation as an organization, of course. So Chris, before the break we were talking about guidelines to addressing a crisis, and well, some of the best defense tools you have are basically in your own organization itself. So let's just move on now to the kind of protocols that organizations should have in place ahead of a crisis or in preparation for a crisis.
Thank you, Audrey. So at Edelman, we have a 7-point methodology for how an organization should prepare themselves for a crisis. Mm. Firstly, they should have a threat assessment matrix where they outline their risk areas as it relates to their industry and the different business units.
Okay.
Secondly, they should have stakeholder mapping and sentiment tracking, in the sense that getting all internal stakeholders involved to map their level, their circles of influence and the circles that they influence. Third, would be to establish a messaging strategy that's agreed by all executives in the company to ensure that each stakeholder is taken care of when it comes to communicating in a time of crisis. Fourth would be to create rich media content and create a bank of content for the different channels, in the sense that a press release might not live as effectively on Twitter or Instagram. So how do you take your messaging and ensure that they are bespoke and relevant for the different channels?
Mm.
Malaysians today consume media very differently. A 20-year-old consumes media very differently from a 35-year-old.
Definitely.
And we need to ensure that we are mirroring that in our go-to-market.
Right. Okay. What's next?
Next would be to not be afraid to not communicate immediately, to ensure that you have a proper listening process set in place to help you validate your crisis responses and messaging. Next would be to decide to monitor and to respond in particular channels. It's not a one-size-fits-all. We cannot spray and pray. It's to be quick with the facts and slow to the blame. And we feel that that's very important. Lastly would be to evaluate what you've done, to revise and to learn from a process. Every crisis comes with a learning opportunity. If you write the word crisis in Chinese, it means danger and opportunity.
Oh, okay.
So there's a silver lining with every crisis.
Okay. And there's also a recovery process post-crisis, I understand. You know, that's something that most of us maybe are not aware of. What is this recovery process like?
Right. So firstly, if we look at how you respond during a crisis, tonality is very important. The four C's, confirmation. First, you need to clarify that an incident has occurred and provide an overview and timeline of occurrences. Secondly, which is very important, compassion. We need to convey sympathy, and that does not mean an apology, but we need to acknowledge that an incident or an issue has occurred. Third is cooperation, which in the sense that explain the actions that your organization is taking to work with the relevant authorities to ensure transparency of your findings. The last would be commitment. It's basically an organization assuring the public and the affected stakeholders that all possible steps are being taken to ensure that there will be no repeat of the incident. Mm. The last C that I've come to find the most important is context. It's contextualizing your responses, contextualizing the incident, and contextualizing the actions being taken to remedy the situation.
Okay, so Chris, I understand that these C's that you just mentioned, they will help an organization's reputation, I guess, to the society. But what is the company's recovery process like?
Recovering from a crisis requires us to identify the steps needed to rebuild your reputation.
Mm.
And firstly, use your employees as advocates. They're very important. Secondly, is to strategically focus on building emotional equity in terms of trust and hopefully using this as an eventual safety net in the occurrence of another crisis. Edelman has been studying trust, and we have identified 16 key attributes of building trust. Out of the Trust Barometer Survey, we've clustered steps to building reputation in 5. Integrity. Show that you have ethical business practices. Show that you're taking responsible actions to address the issue and the crisis and to ensure that it won't happen again. 2, engagement. You've got to constantly showcase how you're listening to customer feedback and taking that on board. 3, if you are in the business of providing a product or a service, ensure and highlight how you are keeping the highest standards of production in your production line or services. 4, purpose. Work beyond your profit. Showcase your purpose, the reason for your being. Create programs that positively impact the community. Partner with NGOs, partner the government, partner with third parties to address societal issues related to your area of business. Lastly would be operation. Ensure that you have you're showing a highly regarded and widely admired top leadership if you can, and ensure that you're delivering consistent financial returns to investors. So that's sort of based on our study. There are ways to rebuild your reputation, but a deep understanding of the local community that you are operating in is essential.
Okay. Well, most of the steps that you just mentioned there, Chris, I guess it's very doable for a large organization, a multinational perhaps. But if you're a small company or even maybe a small and medium business, how do you handle a crisis then? Do you need all these tools and resources at hand, even if you're a small business?
So, Audrey, the principles of crisis management and crisis preparedness will not change whether you're a 5-man team or a 5,000-man team. As humans, you're more likely to forgive someone you like. So if you're a small organization, focus on building a bank of goodwill to use as a safety net and to insulate yourself against a potential crisis.
And if a crisis comes and you are not prepared for it, are there people you can reach out to help you with it?
Sure. I can be contacted. I head the Crisis Risk and Digital Practice at Edelman. Come up to our website, edelman.my, or go to Mid Valley. We're situated in Mid Valley, and we're one of the few consultancies in Malaysia and across the globe that have a dedicated crisis and risk management practice. We serve small organizations, SMBs, as well as large MNCs.
All right. Thank you so much for taking time to speak to us about, investing in your reputation, Chris.
Thank you, Audrey.
I've been speaking to Christopher Ross de Cruz, Associate Director of Crisis Risk and Digital Reputation at Edelman Public Relations Worldwide. Now, if you missed any part of this interview or would like to catch up on our other crisis management shows, just head on down to bfm.my and look up the Resource Center podcast. Just, type in crisis or crisis management in our search bar and it will take you to all the podcasts you need. My name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.